Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 90. This is the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest tech news and reviews. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I'm editor of techguide.com.au, and we're coming to you live from New York City. I'm here to for the event, the HTC One M8 launch event. We'll be talking about that on the show, of course. We'll also be talking about the Samsung Galaxy S5's release date, Christian Bale possibly playing Steve Jobs in a biopic, and in our reviews, we're going to look at Office for iPad. Microsoft's finally released it. We're also going to check out the Netgear Trek travel router and the new Jawbone Up 24. In the Tech Guide Help Desk, we're going to talk about World Backup Day and the importance of backing up your content. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Lots to get through right here on Tech Guide.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm in New York for the launch of the new HTC One M8, and they really pulled out all the stops to set up a huge event. Well, for what is, I think, a pretty important release for HTC. It's a follow-up to the very successful HTC One, which was actually the M7 a year ago. It has actually gone on and been voted the world's best smartphone at the World Mobile World Congress in Barcelona last month. So HTC have upped the ante. They've raised the bar with the new version, the M8, and it's has got a slight design improvement, lots of new features, and it is certainly sure to put some pressure on Samsung and Apple in the coming months when they're releasing their smartphones. The One M8 is made entirely of metal, or almost entirely of metal. It's got brushed aluminium, but what strikes you the first time you get it in your hand is the quality of the product. It's got like a jewelry-grade finish. This brushed aluminium feels really premium in your hand, which is something that a lot of users I've heard complaining about some smartphones in the market, that they're just made of plastic and they don't feel like they're quality devices. Not so with the One M8. This is pretty good quality in your hand. That's the first thing you'll notice once you get it in there. It's got a curved back panel, so it sits nicely in your hand. It's very comfortable to hold, it's not too heavy. Being made of metal, I thought it'd be a lot heavier than what it is. It's actually not that heavy at all. But it's not just the exterior, the design and the materials that's going to impress you about the One M8. There are several features on board that have really brought the smartphone to a whole new level, in my opinion. It starts off, though, with the back of the device. There's actually two lenses for the duo camera. And this isn't for 3D. This is for adding more depth information to your photographs. So whenever you take a picture, that extra lens captures all that extra depth information, and that can come in useful later on when you want to maybe do some editing, if you want to maybe apply some effects. You can even, and this is a really impressive feature, you can even refocus the image. You can change the point of focus on the image simply by touching it. And that way you can create these effects that usually need a digital SLR with it, you know, to achieve that depth of field. And also editing options that would usually require a computer and Photoshop and considerable skills to achieve. So I think this is really going to appeal to those people who love sharing photographs, who love taking photographs on their smartphones. And let's face it, most of us are taking photographs on our smartphones now. I think we use our smartphones now more for taking photos than we do our actual dedicated digital compact cameras. So HTC have come along with this solution to offer people all this type of photographic quality that hasn't been seen before. It's got a 5-inch full high-definition screen. It's covered with scratch-proof Gorilla Glass 3. And it's got several other features on board. One I like is the motion gestures. You know how many times you reach for your smartphone, you press that button on top of your device to either unlock it or find out the time or whatever. But with the HTC, you can double tap the screen to unlock it. You can swipe to the left for your home screen, swipe to the right for blink feed, swipe down to answer a call. So it can take you to certain apps. So I quite like the fact that you don't need to be looking for that small button. You can actually you can go to the screen you want or the app you want simply by the direction that you're swiping, which I think is a really good idea. The device comes with a lot of accessories too. One that impressed me was the new Dot View cover. This is like a smart cover, and the cover itself that covers the screen has lots of little holes in it. And once the device is inside the cover and the cover is closes over the screen actually goes into a different mode, a standby mode, that allows the figures underneath, the letters and numbers and drawings, to actually shine through the cover. So you can actually read what's on the screen, like the time, the person calling you, the weather, without actually having to open up that cover anymore. I've got a picture on Tech Guide for you, so you can see exactly what I'm talking about there. But it's a really handy addition to one to the many accessories that are going to be available on launch for the HTC One M8. Now, one feature that I liked about the HTC One, the previous model, was the sound quality. The HTC One M8 really comes to the party again. In fact, I think it's even better than the previous model. Those front-facing speakers, which are drilled with a micro drill on the front of the product. Now, many of us buy Bluetooth speakers so that we can stream content from our smartphone to a better speaker. Well, with these speakers, I've been using it since I've been here in New York. And I've just been playing it out loud, my music out loud, through the HTC One M8's front speakers. And you don't need Bluetooth speakers. It's good enough for you just to play out loud through the phone itself. There's no need to stream it to a better set of speakers, because the ones on the M8 are pretty decent to begin with. The HTC One M8, it will be available in April. It's going to be available through Optus, Vodafone and Telstra. It's going to be priced at $899 for outright purchase. And I think this is going to be a product that's going to get a lot of people excited. On the battery side, I've been using it here for a few days, and I have to say, battery performance is excellent. The battery has got this new long life mode. It's a special standby mode that allows the battery to run for days if necessary. So what it does, it shuts down all the major features so that you can make your calls or receive your text if you need to. And judging by the HTC One M7, last year's model, and this year's model, it's a 40% improvement on the new M8. So that's going to be good news to a lot of people who've complained about their batteries not lasting the full day. Well, now the M8 has come up with a solution. If you want to read my full report and my hands-on review, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Well, it wasn't just HTC making the news about their smartphones. It was also Samsung. The same day, in fact, at night in Australia, that same day. So it was Tuesday in New York, Wednesday in Australia, Wednesday night in Australia. Samsung had their launch for the Galaxy S5. Now, this device was unveiled at the Mobile World Congress last month, so we've seen it a month ago. But what they've done is announced the actual release date, and that release date is April 11. That's going to be a date that a lot of people are going to be circling in their calendars, especially for those people who may be looking for a new device. The Galaxy S5, look, I've got to say, it doesn't look a whole lot different to the previous model. The back does look a bit different. There's a few dimples in the back. I think the camera is a different shape. It's also got a different shaped flash on the back as well. But it does have it's got a 5.1-inch screen, which is slightly bigger, a 16-megapixel camera, which is also improved, 2.5 gigahertz quad-core processor, and it's got the brand new Android KitKat 4.4.2 operating system. But there are a couple of new features under the hood as well. The first is the new fingerprint reader underneath the home key. So this can not only unlock the device, but it's also announced it can also authorize payments. PayPal have already come out in support of the new fingerprint sensor. So rather than you having to type in passwords, you can just swipe your finger and approve that sale. And the beauty of that is that with PayPal, It is all done using the device and through PayPal. So none of the online stores have to change anything. They don't need to add anything to their point of sale. It's all done through the fingerprint reader and through PayPal. So that's good news. And PayPal's be one of many people who jump on board. I'm sure there'll be banks and other people jumping in so people maybe approve payments on the go. Because that was something that's the Galaxy S4 could do, is those contactless payments using NFC. Well, the fingerprint touch reader is just going to give that one added layer of security. But one thing, another aspect of the Galaxy S5, and you've got to remember that it is being released with a new smartwatch and a new activity band as well. So the Gear 2, the Gear 2 Neo, and the Gear Fit. Now, it is being released at the same time. So fitness, activity tracking, these wearable devices are going to be released at the same time. So on board the Samsung Galaxy S5, though, are already some activity apps and abilities. One ability is actually a heart rate monitor. What users can do is place their finger on the back flash, and it will emit a light that can actually read your pulse through your finger. So the light actually shines through your skin, and it can read then the pulse, so your biometric information, which is actually your pulse at the end of your finger, and take your heart rate, which is really interesting. Harking back to the HTC One M8, I forgot to mention, that also has a Fitbit app on board. Fitbit are those activity bracelets that are pretty popular at the moment as well. The HTC One M8 has Fitbit, the activity app, also on board, and I think the device itself can act as a pedometer, so it can count your steps, and you can then use your Fitbit account for the device too, so that way you can keep track of your steps without a Fitbit bracelet. So activity bracelets, wearable devices, are going to be pretty important, I think, moving forward this year. Companies like Samsung, Sony, I think that, you know, obviously the big rumors that Apple are going to do the same thing later this year as well. So I think the Samsung's offering on April 11 is going to be quite popular. The Galaxy S5, April 11, through Telstra, Optus, Vodafone and Virgin Mobile. You can click through to the story on techguide.com.au if you want to find out all the plan information. You can buy it outright for $920. The Gear 2 is $369. The Gear 2 Neo smartwatch is $249. The Gear Fit activity band is also $249. But if you want to see some images of that product, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Well, there's another Steve Jobs biopic in the offing, and this is apparently based on the official Walter Isaacson biography. And it's being written, or is already written, by none other than Aaron Sorkin, the creator of West Wing, The Newsroom, Studio 60. So he's already an Academy Award-winning writer. He won the Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay for The Social Network, which was another tech-related story about the origins of Facebook. Now, Christian Bale has popped up as the character, the person most likely to play the title role of Steve Jobs. Not only is he a brilliant actor, he's an Academy Award-winning actor, as a matter of fact. He's also has a little likeness. There's a picture on Tech Guide of him wearing a moustache and a little bit of a beard in the similar way that Steve Jobs used to. So right off the bat, there is some similarity there. But Christian Bale, being Christian Bale, of course, he's the sort of person who can really change his appearance to get into character. He's done that several times. Most recently, he did that with American Hustle, where he put on a bit of weight. He actually shaved his head to give himself a comb over. Other films, there was an earlier film of his called The Machinist, where he lost so much weight that you could see that his rib cage. There's pictures of that on Tech Guide as well. So this guy's not afraid to change his body and appearance to get into character. And of course, his most popular role has been as Batman, who needed to also be in tip-top shape. So he's gone from being overweight, underweight, and then really buff because he had to play the Dark Knight himself. Now, the person in the background who's hoping that Christian Bale, or actually demanding that Christian Bale gets offered this role, is director David Fincher. In fact, according to The Wrap, website. He told Sony, the company behind the picture, that he would not direct this film unless Christian Bale was cast in that title role. So that brings back Fincher, brings back Aaron Sorkin, the team that brought you The Social Network, and an actor with the caliber of Christian Bale. I think that we're going to be in for something special. So I don't think the film is going to be released, though, till sometime in 2015. I think it should start filming later this year, if all goes to plan. So stay tuned for that. A new Steve Jobs biopic written by Aaron Sorkin, directed by David Fincher, and starring Christian Bale. If you wanted to check out those pictures that I mentioned, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide, keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, the Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Well, the new product of Netgear's is the AC750 Wi-Fi range extender. Now, people want to have the best Wi-Fi in all parts of their home. Well, now you can give your home Wi-Fi a boost with Netgear's new AC750 Wi-Fi range extender, EX6100. You can optimize your existing Wi-Fi network and extend it to hard-to-reach places throughout your home. The EX6100 delivers fast Wi-Fi speeds and connectivity for smartphones, tablets and laptops and more, and allows you to enjoy your favorite entertainment throughout your home. In a convenient wall plug design, this extender has two Wi-Fi modes. You can use it as an extender to boost existing Wi-Fi, or you can flick it to access point mode to create a new 802.11 AC Wi-Fi access point. The EX6100 AC750 Wi-Fi range extender from Netgear is available now, and you can check it out at netgear.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick. Tech Guide.
Well, some pretty big news came out of Microsoft a couple of days ago, and that was the announcement that their very popular Office suite of applications is now available for the iPad. This news was announced by the new Microsoft CEO, Satya Nadella, at a special event in San Francisco. Now, it was anticipated that the Office suite was coming to iPad soon, but it was, in fact, a few days ago, and it is available now as a free download. But there is a catch. Let me explain. It is a free download for you to actually download it to your device, to your iPad, and to view Word documents. When you want to go in and edit and create your own documents, you need an Office 365 subscription, which I think is $120 a year. You can add the iPad as one of your devices in your subscription. I think the other devices, of course, you can add as your computers, but you need that Office 365 subscription, which I understand Apple gets a 30% cut of any Office 365 subscription taken out by people using iPads. So Apple get a share of that as well as Microsoft, of course. So current Office 365 subscribers can simply add their iPad as an authorized device to use with Office on their iPad. But the applications themselves, you got Word, you got Excel, and you got PowerPoint. And these applications have been optimized so that they do bring in a touch of familiarity to the Word, PowerPoint, and Excel environment, so that they do give you that recognized features and look and feel. But it has been optimized for touch. You got to remember, it's for the iPad, so you're going to be just using your finger as your mouse. So it's been optimized for use with a touch screen. And it is already a very popular download. This has been something people have been waiting for a long time, because not only can they create these Word documents, Excel, PowerPoint documents, they can view them, but they can also share them. So if you're collaborating with somebody, you can save it up into the OneDrive, which is Microsoft's online storage service, and you can then access that document on a computer or another device later on. So not only is it important in the creating and the editing, but it's also as important as the sharing and collaborating. So Office is one of the most popular Office, the most popular package of software on the planet, and now it's come to the iPad. But another interesting point, though, is that there is a version you can download to iPhones and Android smartphones that is completely free. I think the reason it's completely free on those small screen devices is because I don't think many people are going to create PowerPoint, Excel, and Word documents formally on such a small screen. The iPad's got the bigger screen, so naturally that's where Microsoft sees where they need to charge people for use of it. But if you want to get away with just viewing, you can download the free app on the iPad. If you want it, you can also download the app for your phone, whether it's Android or iPhone, and of course it's on Windows phones as well. And you can not only on your phones create, edit, and share. But Office has arrived for the iPad. If you want to see some screenshots of those applications, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, you can check it out at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
Our next product is actually from our sponsor, Netgear, and it's the Netgear Trek travel router. It's the N300, and I'm actually using this while I'm here in New York. This is what I've described as a kind of a tech version of the Swiss Army knife, because it does so many things. First of all, it's a travel router. So once you get in your hotel room or wherever you're staying, you can extend that connection to your other devices for free. Scenario number one, there is only in your hotel room, there may only be a cable internet connection. What the Netgear Trek, the N300, can turn that wired connection. So the Trek looks like a large charger. So on one side is a plug, which goes into the PowerPoint. On the other side is a little aerial. On the bottom is where you can connect that internet cable and create a little Wi-Fi network for your room. So you can get your computer, your tablet, your smartphone, all on that little network. And that saves you, not only creates a Wi-Fi network in the first place, but there are some hotels who have a really cheeky charge where they charge per device that's connected. So this can also get around that little scenario as well. So if it's already an existing Wi-Fi network, you can not only extend that Wi-Fi network to your other devices, but it also gives you a little firewall. So it protects you've got a little bit of security around your products, because many times in hotels, you can see other devices on the network, and in some cases you can click on that on your computer and then look around in some of these other people's computers. I've looked at other Macs on hotel networks and been able to look in people's iTunes library, so the firewall protection just isn't there. But with the Trek, it gives you that added protection as well as that added convenience. But there's more. What it also can do is be used as a range extender, so you can extend the range of a Wi-Fi network. You can also, if you're in a public Wi-Fi network, you can tap into that Wi-Fi network through the device, use it as an access point so that it gives you that added security as well. And you can also use it as a charger. There's a USB port on the bottom. So if you've got a USB power device, a smartphone, a tablet, instead of having to bring a charger, you can just bring the Netgear Trek travel router and just bring the cable and connect it on the bottom, and then you've got your charging sorted as well. All of that through the one device, which I think is pretty handy. And it's priced at $79. The Netgear Trek N300 travel router and range extender. Did I mention also, I think I did, it could be used as an access point in your home or in your office. When you're in a cafe, you can actually power the device through a USB port from your computer to a micro USB port on the device. So you don't actually have to have it plugged into the wall for it to work. So in a cafe, that'd be the ideal scenario. Not only are you getting that network, so you're getting the network being created just for you from that wherever you are. So it extends that network to you. It also creates that firewall as well, because that's a problem. Public Wi-Fi, there's no real protection for the user. Someone with enough skill can actually get into your computer, find out some information, but with the Netgear Trek, you get that added protection. The Netgear Trek N300, priced at $79. You can read my full review at techguide.com.au. Now, next review is the Jawbone Up 24. This is the activity bracelet, very popular product, the Jawbone. Last year's product was called the Jawbone Up. This year's product is called the Jawbone Up 24. To look at them, they don't look much different. There's a different pattern on the Up 24, but the main difference is the fact the Up 24 now connects wirelessly to your smartphone. With the Up, you used to have to actually physically connect it to your smartphone, upload all your information, so you don't know how you've gone for sleep, for steps, your calories, until you're physically connected to your device. Not so with the Up 24. It can continually update to your device and give you real-time notifications of how you're traveling. Like, I've been using it here in New York, and I walk around a fair bit here in New York, and it gives me updates. It says, okay, you've already used 50% of your goal steps. Congratulations, you've gone 150. So it gives you those constant updates so you know how you're progressing. It also has a setting that lets you send a notification to see a notification at 4:30 p.m. So in the case of your steps, if at 4:30 it says, oh, you've only done 60%, at least it gives you enough time to do something about it. You can put on your shoes, go for a walk, take the dog out, go for a run. So at least it gives you an opportunity to complete your goal. With the Jawbone Up, if you haven't remembered to sync your device, you really don't know how your steps are going until you've made the effort and remembered to sync the device physically. So one good thing about the Up 24 is that it gives you that constant update so you know exactly what you're doing without the hassle of having to connect it. It is very handy in that way. And of course, it can still track your sleep. It can track your steps and your calorie intake. It also has the apps been updated too to give you suggestions. And it can suggest things to like things like going to bed earlier. If you say that, you know, the feature's called Today I Will. And if you choose the sleep option, it'll say, look, if you go to bed 45 minutes earlier, it'll give you 7 hours sleep and you'll feel a lot better the next day. So you can opt in. You can say, I'm in. And then it'll give you a reminder that we are nearing your bedtime. Or not, you can ignore it. But there's also ways you can take up the challenge for steps, doing more steps. And also your calories as well. So it keeps track of the whole lot. One other addition to the Jawbone setup is a new app called Up Coffee. The people at Jawbone noticed that one of the most entered food or drink items was coffee. So what they decided to do was to create a separate app so that it gives users an idea of how much caffeine's in their system, how wired they are. So what it basically does, it monitors your caffeine levels and it tells you whether you're too wired for sleep or whether you're sleep ready. So that's, for someone who's pretty sensitive, not me, but if you are sensitive to caffeine, this is a good way to monitor it and so that you can tell how well you're going to be sleeping. And because it tracks your sleep patterns as well, it knows based on what you've entered and how you've slept if there is some correlation between your caffeine intake and whether it interrupts your sleep patterns or the quality of your sleep. The Jawbone Up 24 is available now from JB, Dick Smith and Apple stores, and it's priced at $179. And if you want to read my report about it, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
The Tech Guide Help Desk is all about backup. Now, I think a few weeks ago I did mention backup and its importance, but today is actually World Backup Day, March 31, the day before April Fool's Day, and that's not by accident. You'll feel like a bit of a fool if you lose all your stuff without having all your content backed up. So that's the whole catch cry of World Backup Day. Don't be an April Fool. Back up your stuff. Now, the important thing for people to note is why backup? Well, if your computer suddenly goes on the fritz and all your content's on there, your music, your pictures, all your documents, and your hard drive blows up, something happens to your computer, might get stolen, you might lose it, then you've lost your stuff as well. So what you need to do is keep an external backup so that in the unlikely event that you lose your computer, it blows up, something happens to it, at least you've got a backup, an external backup to your content. You can't have it on the same drive as in your computer, because if you lose your computer, you've lost your original content and the backup. So it makes sense to have them separate. So having an external hard drive is one solution, but having an online backup is another. So if there are services like OneDrive, Dropbox, Google Drive that allows you to back up your content to the cloud. So rather than having an external hard drive connected with a USB that you've got to remember to back up from time to time, you can set up an online version as well. If you want to look at Tech Guide, I've actually outlined how you can set up a backup for a Windows 7 computer, a Windows 8 computer, and a Mac. And I've also outlined how you can use online storage. Online storage is pretty easy. You can create a one big folder, save it up to the cloud, and that's your backup. But one thing with online storage, though, is that you do get a certain amount of space for free. But if you, your content, like, you know, people have lots of thousands of photos and videos, that actually takes up a lot of space. So if you do want to have your online storage and you exceed that free space, you obviously need to pay a monthly or yearly subscription fee to maintain that. But look, online backup is so important. We can't emphasize this enough. Back up your computer. But it's not only your computer you need to back up to, you need to back up your smartphone. Trend Micro had some interesting stats, actually. They said that their product is Titanium Maximum Security. That software has a feature called SafeSync that allows people to use it to sync and back up all their content in the cloud on Trend Micro servers. What they found, though, is that only 4% of the customers who use Titanium Maximum Security are actually taking up that feature. So that's 96% of their customers are not using that special backup safe sync feature. Smartphone users aren't much better either. Trend Micro also has a mobile backup and restore app for their mobiles. But on average, there's only 125 megabytes of contacts and photos and music saved. And that's nothing when you think about the fact that there is between 8 gigabytes and 64 gigabytes of onboard storage. So we're under backing up our phones as well. I think it should be noted that phones contain all this information, a lot of content as well. We're taking our photos. We mentioned that earlier in the show. You want to back them up, and you can do that using a backup app or some software for your computer as well. Best to back up everything, your phone, your tablet, and your computer. If you want to read those instructions on how to do it on your computer and online, you can do that at techguide.com.au. And that's our show for another week from New York. I'll be back in Australia in a few days. But in the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us at info@techguide.com.au. And of course, everything that we spoke about on the show today, you can read in full at techguide.com.au. A special thanks, too, to our sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Well, that's all from us. We look forward to your company next week. We hope you can join us then. But in the meantime, as we always say, stay safe and stay connected.